Today we have a lot going on. It kind of reminds me of the little boy, and I may have told you this before, but it kind of explains what's going on today. The little boy was sitting at church. He was too young to really understand what the preacher was saying. The theological concepts were above his age. And so the preacher just kept going on and on and on. It was forever. And the little boy was just having a hard time sitting still. And his mom kept, you know, sitting him back down really hard. And it just was a struggle for everybody. And that little boy finally, you know, the preacher finished. It was about an hour and 15 minutes. And so the little boy was, you know, worn out. He learns on the way home that the preacher's coming to his house for dinner after church. And of all things, the father asked the preacher to say the prayer before they ate. And the little boy was like, oh, no, you know, we're never going to eat. And so the preacher just said, Lord, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. And the little boy said audibly, it makes a difference when you're hungry, doesn't it? And my sermon is going to be a little shorter today. It's not because I'm hungry, but I am excited about some of the things that will be taking place in just a little bit. As you know, we're about to appoint three additional men to serve as bishops, elders, overseers of this congregation, shepherds. To begin with the lesson that it will tie into all that, let me remind you of what I believe is one of the most humbling passages in all the Bible. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 1, the last two verses of that chapter, verse 22 and 23. It says that he put all things under him, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What that passage says, at least in a nutshell, is this. God needs us. Jesus needs his church. He doesn't need us intrinsically. He existed before us and could have existed without us. But he, in his scheme of redemption, chose to need us. He's incomplete without his church. He has placed the gospel, the saving message, in our hands. And it's up to us to take the gospel to the lost. And if we don't do it, then his mission doesn't get accomplished in the way that he wants it accomplished. And so, you know, I can say really easily, I need God. That just flows off my lips really easily. But this passage is affirming that he needs us. And that's humbling and should cause us all to take stock of our lives and ask ourselves, are we giving back to him what he expects from us and what he needs from us? There are times in Scripture where you see where God has chosen to need men. And it's amazing that you would think that people would actually say no to God, but they have. In the days of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel wrote in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, he said, you know, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall. You know, he's saying, I want somebody to stand up for me. And he said, I want them to stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. And here's what God said to the prophet, but I found no one. Of all the people of God, he searched out to find a man that would just stand up and be the guy that says, enough, no. And he said, I couldn't find anybody to stand for me. Now that's different from what we just saw in the passage that Matthew just read in Isaiah chapter 6. Because in this passage, Isaiah is given a vision and he's entered into the throne room of heaven and he sees God in all of his glory. He feels so undone, so humbled by his own sinfulness, but God purges him and cleanses him. And then Isaiah overhears God say, who will I send and who will go for me? And after all that God had done for Isaiah, he couldn't just sit there and say nothing. He said, here am I, send me. I'll go. You need me? After the fact that you have cleansed me and I am so unworthy and you still let me stand in your presence, you just tell, what do you need me to do? Here am I, send me. That's the kind of response God's looking for. He's looking for that in individuals. He's looking for that in churches. A great man of the Bible didn't have that noble of a response, a very similar response given, but just a little bit different. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and 4, God needs Moses and calls Moses. And you remember there's this burning bush, and Moses saw it from a distance, and he said, I'm going to go over there and check that out. That's really weird. And he walks over there, and he's looking, and while he's there at that bush, there's a voice that comes out and says, Moses. And he says, here am I. But you know how that story went. He made every excuse he could think of not to go for God. And basically, whereas Isaiah said, here am I, send me, Moses said, here am I, send Aaron. Just let him go for me. My point is this. Today, the church needs men. God needs men who will stand in the gap and who will lead and direct and guide and give vision and oversight and care and compassion for his children, the church, the flock of God. And the congregation here has selected three men among the men here, and they have presented those names to the elders, and they've said, these men are qualified to serve. Those men were approached, and they share in a willingness to serve. They're not going to serve. In fact, they wouldn't be qualified to serve if they were reluctant in this, but they said, we'll do this. Here am I, send me. And so those men are going to be appointed to fulfill the task that is ever before the church. In God's wisdom, he set up a church, and in that church, there are men who are, well, the Bible uses various terms, presbyters, bishops, elders, shepherds, overseers. Those are terms that are used that describe the same office, but different functions within that office. And if the church is to be what God wants it to be and part of his intention and to function, you know, on all cylinders, the church needs those men. And when you think about the fact that we're really just a generation away from losing that at any given time, the fact that we have men who are saying, here am I, send me, I'll stand up, I'll have my life examined by the qualifications set forth, and I'll do this job. I'll carry that weight. How can I tell God no? And so we have three men this morning that are going to be added to our men who already serve as elders. They've answered the call. But I want you to, I want to make this point, and then we'll close the lesson. God calls for men to lead. That call is always present. But listen, he also calls for men and women to follow. And that call is just as important. And he's calling you this morning to follow. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, did God call you? Did you ever get a calling from God? Well, yeah, every Christian has gotten a calling from God. And that's explained in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, where Paul said that God calls us by or through the gospel so that we can attain to the glory of God. So that, yeah, when I heard the gospel, that was God saying, Steve, do this. You can have salvation if you do. And I obeyed that call and became a Christian. And he's still making that call today. A couple years ago, my wife sent me to Israel on a trip. And I've told you this, and maybe even I think I have used this illustration before. Some of you may have heard it, but on the very first night we were in Israel, we went to the city of Joppa. And Joppa was a really interesting place. There's some really interesting things that happened there in Bible times. One of the things, I remember that night, I was just, you know, in awe because I'd never been there before. And we're walking these cobblestone streets in this ancient city that is right on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea. And you could hear the waves in the darkness, you know, hitting the seashore. And we had a devotional that night, and I was reminded of two facts about Joppa. You remember the book of Jonah? When Jonah was called to go preach to Nineveh, he didn't want to do that. And it was at Joppa that he got on a boat and headed the opposite direction, running from God's call. And I can come to the New Testament in Acts chapter 10, and I remember when God said, you know what, I'm going to open this up now to the Gentiles, and I need somebody to go preach to Cornelius. And he sent messengers to Peter, who was in Joppa, and he was told, go preach to this Gentile, do my bidding. And in Joppa, we have two responses. We have Jonah, who ran from the call of God. And we have Peter, who ran to the call of God. In a sense, this morning, we're walking on the streets of Joppa. And God is calling us right now. And we have a decision to make. Before you leave here today, we will have made a decision, and that decision will either be like Jonah, who ran and ignored God's call, or will be like Peter, who said, Lord, just tell me which way to go, I'll do it. If you're here this morning and you've not yet obeyed the call of God to repent of your sins, to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, why don't you make that decision this morning? If you haven't done that, you know, if you haven't done that and you leave here today having not done that, how is that any different than that prophet who tried to run away from God and not answer his call? God is calling you. What will you do? You may be a child of God already, but unfaithful in your life, and there are things you need to fix. And again, if you leave here today having not fixed those things, how is that any different than that stubborn prophet, Jonah? Answer the Lord's call as we stand together and sing. Won't you come?